Great Lakes Commonwealth of Letters, or GLCL, we like to call ourselves to save.
That is easier.
It is easier, yes. We are a nonprofit writer center located in Grand Rapids, right on Wealthy Street, Wealthy and Eastern, on what is called the Wealthy Corridor. And we are dedicated to promoting and encouraging and really just celebrating the craft of writing and everything around with that. All the endeavors that writers have going on, and really the importance of the literary arts in the Great Lakes region. I mean, I think the literary arts is, we all do at GLCL believe that the literary arts are just fantastic and they are crucial to a well-balanced life. And it's something that I think, any, even if you're not a writer, you can appreciate the literary arts. And we're just passionate about trying to create and foster this dynamic community of writers and readers and students and everyone in between in not only the Great Lakes region, but Grand Rapids, especially since this is where we're located.
Take me back a little bit in history. How did it come to be? Who brought this together? And I'm wondering, what was that trigger? Did they see some kind of a void in the community that this filled?
So Ronnie Devlin, who is our president, she owned and operated a bookstore where our current space is. And after the bookstore closed, you know, she really saw this need of a nonprofit writer center that nobody else was doing and still isn't doing in the way that we're doing. And it was a really beautiful niche that she felt needed to be filled. You know, one of the main goals that we do, you know, we offer so much different types of programming. I mean, all across the board and all, you know, towards teens and young adults and non-traditional writers, you name it. But one of the things we really try to do is not to duplicate what bookstores and libraries and other nonprofits are doing. We want to be a little different that way. And I think that was her vision to begin with, was how can we further reach the literary community of West Michigan, of Grand Rapids, of the Great Lakes region in ways that other people aren't?
And what is your role there?
So I am the director of development. Mm-hmm. I started in January of 2016, so earlier this year.
Okay.
Before that, I had known Ronnie for a little bit. I run and manage a Michigan-based small press and literary journal on the side. So we've done a little bit of work together in the past. And
is that now a part of GLCL, or are you still?
It's a separate thing that's still going on in its own thing. So, but our missions were very similar. And I think Ronnie and I got brought together because she is so tirelessly passionate about the Great Lakes region, and I am too. You know, like a lot of people, I hated Grand Rapids growing up. I was born and raised there, you know, and not just Grand Rapids. I think people tend to hate where they grow up, right? And, you know, when I was a kid, I dreamed of mountains and oceans, and I didn't really appreciate what we had here. And I moved all over the world. And, you know, when I got a little older, I started really realizing, you know, Michigan is beautiful, and there's all this wealth of talent here. And West Michigan, especially, as you know, in Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids and all over West Michigan. And, you know, in the last 10 years, Grand Rapids has changed so much, and the arts and the arts have been so responsible for this revitalization, I think. And, you know, we really came together I think with our mutual love and passion for what people outside of the region see or don't see. You know, the Midwest and the Great Lakes regions tend to be overlooked. You know, we're flyover country to people.
Mm-hmm.
And we really connected, I think, on that level, that we have a lot to give. We have a lot of, you know, a wealth of tremendous talent in the Grand Rapids area, especially and around that area as well, too, that we really want to help focus on. So I came on, like I said, in January as director of development. And my goal is, you know, not only to help plan the strategic development of where we're going to go and try to reach a wider audience and get more people involved in what we're doing, but come up with additional programming and new programming and talk to the communities and, you know, help organize fundraisers and really just get us out there to the nth degree so more people know about who we are and what our mission is.
Are you a writer yourself?
I am, yes.
And what do you write? You get to plug yourself a little bit here, too.
I get shy plugging myself. I'm a fiction writer. My most recent publication, I had a Western novel published last year by Dock Street Press. They're based out of Seattle.
Hmm.
So I do a lot of stuff that's set in Michigan. My short stories are, but I love Westerns and wrote a Western novel. So
neat. Okay.
Yeah.
So you said that Ronnie wanted something that bookstores don't offer. What is it that she is doing differently now than when it was a bookstore? You've got the author readings. Is it the workshops or the Writers Hub? And maybe you can tell us, what is the Writers Hub?
Sure. You know, and I think, and quickly, I don't think it's necessarily what they're not doing, because we love bookstores. You know, Literati Bookstore in Ann Arbor, where I was living for the last 6 years, is one of my favorite places on the planet. And I love everything they do, and I think they're really important to the community. But I still think at the end of the day, you know, bookstores are still a business, and there's a certain amount of things that they can do, you know, that's right for them. And then there's stuff that they can't do because it's not right for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we can fill in, and we don't want to just duplicate. So, for example, we don't necessarily want to just have author readings every week, because bookstores in the area do that. They do it well. They do it successfully. And we don't want to cannibalize that sort of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love Schuller's bookstores. I mean, again, I'm from Grand Rapids, born and raised. I love what Schuller's has been able to do.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, all the, you know, Bombadil Books, which is new in Grand Rapids, they're fantastic. And there's other new places sprouting up. So really, it's giving different things, you know, an array of different sorts of events to people that they won't get anywhere else. And you had mentioned the Writers Hub, and the Writers Hub is our space. You know, we have this beautiful space that used to be this bookstore. It's an old bank. It's gorgeous. I mean, I invite anyone and everyone to come check it out. It's just this beautiful, beautiful open space. And, you know, we open it up throughout the week for members and non-members alike who want to come check it out. We have bookshelves of Michigan writers. We sell books there. We have stuff that people can check out at the store. We have spaces for writing. A lot of this is reserved for members. It's one of the perks that our members get, but we want people to feel comfortable to come check it out regardless and see what we're all about. So that alone, I think, having that space where people can come together, having this dedicated event space too, is really, really exciting. But, you know, I was mentioning what bookstores aren't doing, and I think that's really where we shine. I mean, you know, we do manuscript consultations with authors, and that's something that people love and need, I think, quite frankly, and that's great. And we do contests, and we just started a new series called Writers Under 30, and that's curated by Danielle Clark, who's new to GLCL. It's a way for us to really get to know these younger writers who may not have experience reading their work in front of people. And it's a salon-style reading, so it's in different locations every time we put it on. That's exciting. One of my favorite things that we do is called Writer Squared. And what that is we take two writers who are familiar with each other and their work, and they actually interview each other in front of people. And there's no moderator, they're the moderators. And it's a really cool way to get inside the process of writing by these people, you know, from writers' perspectives, talking about each other's work. And I have never seen anything like that before. And I love it. It's fantastic.
Do you have some kind of a visiting writers thing as well?
Well, we're in the process of working out details of a writer in residence series that I think we're going to be doing, launching in 2017.
Okay.
It's still in the early stages, but we do bring in writers for events. We do book launches, but book launches specifically for West Michigan local writers. We do reading stops for people. I mean, we've had Bonnie Jo Campbell and Keith Taylor and Amarak Huey, who's in Grand Rapids, and Matthew Gavin Frank and Adam Skytema and Philip Sterling, and all these people have come to read at our location. We're very, very blessed and thankful for all these people coming to a place. But, you know, we invite authors to come for different events as well, too.
So how does one become a member? Is there a cost involved? And what exactly does membership get you?
Membership, there is a cost involved for membership. And it is $40.
For what time period? Is that for like a year? Or?
It's for a year, correct.
Okay,
and,
okay.
It's, you know, it may seem steep to people, but it's, you know, what we try to encourage people and let them know is it not only is it get you into some really exclusive stuff that we offer and some really fantastic events, but, you know, we are a nonprofit. We exist because of memberships that we get, because of fundraisers that we have. And this goes help, you know, to help us keep our doors open. I mean, we have this beautiful event space, but it costs money to have this event space and to bring authors in and all that.
You know, Rob, it doesn't seem that steep to me.
Well, thank you. I mean, thank you. I think
so.
You know,
does this get you like things like that manuscript consultation, or does it get you access to the Writers Hub, admission to events?
Yeah, so we have special members only events that happen, and you get first dibs too. There's discounts on events too. So, for example, manuscript consultations usually are significantly cheaper for members than they are for non-members, although we, again, encourage other people who aren't members to come to things as well, too. But members have that perk of being able to do that for much, much cheaper. We, like I mentioned, we have a lot of members-only events that we have on. If you're a writer and you're a member, we allow writers to have their books for sale in our hub, which is also a really cool thing that we're offering.
So you do kind of have that bookstore element still.
Yeah, it's not
for members.
Huge. Yeah, but it's something that we think is important, and it's really a benefit for members as well too. I mean, if you have a book, and especially from an indie press, for example, some bookstores, nothing against that, but some bookstores won't carry indie presses for whatever reason, and we'd be happy to carry it and sell it for you and promote it for you and all that kind of stuff. We also have we have a monthly members only newsletter that we do. Members get noticed of advanced readings and events before they're made available to the public and that kind of stuff too. So there's a lot of really good reasons to be a member. And like you said, I don't actually think $40 is too much. And I think what you get out of it, especially if you're interested in being in the writing community in this area, is just priceless. I really do believe that.
No, I think that's very reasonable. Do you have any involvement with Art Prize, since that's getting to be a bigger and bigger thing in the Grand Rapids area?
You know, only we've worked with them only tertially in the past. It's something that we've talked about doing more of. You know, we've worked with various publications around Grand Rapids.
Or perhaps as a venue?
Yeah, as a venue, we've done contests with publications.
Hmm.
If I listed everything we did, we'd be talking
I hear
all day.
You.
But we did a short fiction contest this year with Festival of the Arts and the On the Town magazine. We worked together with that. You know, we did some stuff actually with the Kalamazoo Books Art Center. So we are all over the place. We'd like to be more involved in Art Prize. Personally, you know, I see that there's a lot of growth for something with Art Prize, because Art Prize is so fixated on visual art, which is fantastic, and you don't see as much related
they've
to the literary arts.
They've been going a little more into performing arts and,
yes,
and music,
absolutely,
and that kind of a thing. So, yeah, you can be at the forefront of breaking them into the literary arts.
You're preaching to the choir, let me tell you.
There you go.
And I think, you know, and I think that speaks something, too. You know, while the arts have come back in West Michigan in a big way, and I don't think anyone could have predicted the success year in and year out of Art Prize. And it's, you know, I'm proud of Grand Rapids. I'm proud of what it's grown into. And I'm proud of this wonderful thing. You know, I think there still is a lot of room to grow for the literary arts.
Sure. Yeah.
It's something that tends to get overlooked. You know, writing is one of those things that people say, I'm not a good writer, therefore, why should I go to a reading event? You know, and a good reading event is emotional, and it fills you up, and it's fantastic, and you feel whatever the reader wants you to feel, I guess, based on their piece. But it's a really great experience, and we try to invite people to check it out, because I think people have the wrong notion of what a reading or a workshop is, and we really,
well,
you know,
you're starting to answer my question here. I did want to ask you, you know, and you're preaching to the choir too, but I wanted to hear your answer to what makes literary arts important to a healthy community.
Like I said, the literary arts tend to get overlooked. People, you know, they think of writing, and I've taught in the past as well too, and I've taught writers at the college level, and you know, a lot of times people look at writing, and not even creative writing, but any kind of writing, as, ugh, I don't want to do that. They have this, you know, I think writing is one of those things that we force upon people in a bad way. We don't really, in schools when they're younger, allow them to be creative and explore it as an art form. Mm-hmm. And it is an art form.
Yeah.
You know, and as I mentioned kind of earlier, Ronnie and I, and everyone at GLCL, we really, really, really believe that writing is crucial to a well-balanced life. I mean, it touches on all aspects of the human condition, which I know sounds cheesy, but I think that's true, and we believe that. And I think it does in a way that other people can't do. I mean, even if you never publish your work, anyone can sit down and write their thoughts. And I think that's very therapeutic and very cathartic. Yeah. And it's a wonderful thing. Not everyone can sit down and paint and mm-hmm. be happy with it. And I think that's kind of what separates the arts, is that if you know how to write anything, if you know how to read anything, you can put your thoughts down. And it's not necessarily about getting published. It's about getting your thoughts down and understanding yeah. yourself better and understanding the community you're in better.
Is there anything about the Great Lakes region that you mentioned that you've lived in a lot of different places as well that makes writing in this area different than in other areas?
You're starting to see in the last couple of years this sort of adherence to regionalism that, especially in the Midwest and Great Lakes areas, that hasn't been here before. You know, historically, when people talk about regionalism in literature, you think of Southern literature or East Coast or West Coast. And, you know, there have been Midwestern and Great Lakes authors, but historically, what do? They move to Los Angeles. They move to New York. You know, they want to get away from here and go to the big city. And you're starting to really see people embrace the small towns, you know, life on a sleepy community on Lake Michigan, you know, farm community. I mean, any of these things. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really exciting. And I think, you know, born and bred Midwesterner, you know, Midwestern people are some of the greatest people on earth. We are so kind. We take care of another. We help nurture each other, even when no one's asking to. We're very generous, I think, with our time. But we're also very private. And I think that's what's taken so long for all of us to sort of embrace our lives, is that we realize it's okay to sort of talk about this stuff. And it took a little bit longer than I think it did for other regions to do that. So we have this wealth of stories, of histories, of mythologies that people outside this region don't really know. And I think that's what's really, really exciting, and people are starting to realize, is that people want to read this stuff. They want to eat this stuff up. I mean, Bonnie Jo Campbell is a perfect example. I mean, she National Book Award nominated author. She writes about, you know, the Kalamazoo, Western Michigan areas, and people love it.
And, you know, and there's something else, too. I talked in the past here on this show to an author who, from the Detroit area. At that time, she was Lori May. And we talked about the importance of a literary community, that writers are so often isolated with their work, that there's really something that being part of a community, both as a mentor and a mentee, going to other people's readings and not just your own, that can be really important to a writer.
Absolutely. When I teach creative writing courses or workshops, that is one of the things I tell people the most, is to come to events, is to come to workshops, is to talk to one another, find a, you know, a person or a group of people, other writers that you can work with, because you know, the act, I believe that the act of writing itself is a very personal thing. You know, generally you don't have someone else in the room looking over your shoulder telling you to put this there, that there, et cetera. But I, for me, that's where the personal singular part of writing ends. I mean, you talk about stories together, you brainstorm ways in which things work or don't work and how you can make your stories better. You know, supporting each other is one of the greatest things I think the writing community has, and it's a really, really supportive community I've found over the years. And I think people are often surprised at how supportive it is and how easy it is to find people like you who are looking for that sort of support network. You know, the big AWP conference, the, you know, writers and publishers conference that happens every year, it's, you know, 15,000 people every single year who just want to connect to other people. And that's, how exciting is that? You know, and I think that's one of the things that GLC offers as well, too, is this beautiful space for people to come and connect with each other. We have, you know, a lot of our members are writers because they like to get together and talk about writing, and we have roundtables. We're starting a new series this year called the Brown Bag Business of Writing series, where we talk about the non-creative aspect of stuff that people don't like to necessarily deal with. You know, how do I do social media? What should I have on my website? How do I find an agent? How do I find a publisher? All that kind of stuff. And, you know, getting people together in a room is so cathartic, since so much of this is spent, you know, you by yourself working on the piece.
Well, your enthusiasm is coming through loud and clear, Rob. I appreciate it. Thank you for making time to talk with us today. And where people, other than the address that you've given, give us your website as well?
Sure. It's readwritelive.org.